Good morning, everyone. Today's first reading is taken from Psalm 67, and the sermon passage is taken from John chapter 4, verses 43 to 54. So Psalm 67. For the director of music with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. Now reading from John chapter 4, verses 43. Jesus heals an official's son. After the 2 days he left for Galilee, now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, Sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, Yesterday, at 1 p.m, the fever left him. Then the father realized that this was the exact time that Jesus had said to him, Your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee.
Thanks, Abby. G'day again. I'm Dave, one of the pastors here. I have to say, some of you guys are very good dancers. I was impressed that some of you managed to swap over halfway through the singing. I always find that hard, as you probably could tell, but good job. We're finishing our mini-series, a Christmas mini-series in John's Gospel today, looking at different gifts that Jesus brings, which we can remember and delight in at this time. And today, for our final week, we're seeing how Jesus offers the gift of life. But before we dive in and explore this gift, let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. As we explore the gift of life that Jesus offers, please help us to grasp this and rejoice in it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, being a dad, it's given me a new appreciation for sickness. You may have heard this story before, and if you have, I'm sorry, I'm going to re-traumatise you. There was this one time a few years back, Maddie was away for the night, and I was at home with the kids, and it just happened to be the night that they all got this horrible gastro bug. Yep. I'm not going to go into detail, you'd be pleased to know, but I will tell you this, it was something I can't unsee. It was like something out of a horror film. I've just been traumatised ever since. I reckon that the low point for me was when we'd run out of bed sheets, and so I just started grabbing towels in the middle of the night, laying them out, hoping that they might work. I'm not sure if they did or not, but that's okay. Judging by a few people's reaction, I can see this is something you can relate to. As annoying as this kind of sickness is, right, like it's also pretty tolerable. In some ways, it's trivial. But when it comes to the more extreme sickness, the sickness where life and death hang in the balance, it's a different experience. And when your loved ones go through this kind of sickness, worry keeps you up at night. You know, and when you're apart from them and you hear the phone ring, you feel with anxiety because you wonder, have things taken a turn for the worst? That's a different kind of experience. And for some of us here, it's the kind of experience you're going through right now. During our time now, we're going to work through our second Bible reading that we heard, and we're going to see how Jesus offers us the gift of life. And in doing so, how he deals with this problem of sickness and death. But we're also going to see this is only a gift that becomes yours when you receive Jesus appropriately. So let's dive into our passage and explore this together. If you've got one of our handouts, you'll see that the passage is there. Let's read through it together. So leading up to our passage, Jesus and his disciples have been staying in a place called Samaria. You can see it on the map there. And here we see that people actually did receive Jesus rightly. They came to trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But now Jesus and his disciples are moving further north to a region of Galilee. And sadly, we see that this is quite a contrast here, as the Galileans fail to receive Jesus as they should. But at first, the Galileans' reception of Jesus, it actually seems pretty positive when you read verse 45. We hear there that they did welcome him because they had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they had also been there. This is a reference back to chapter 2 in John's Gospel, where Jesus performed these miracles at the Passover festival. Many of the Galileans were there, and they witnessed all that Jesus had did. And now there's this miracle worker who's coming into their town. And so they welcome him. It all sounds really positive and good, but did you notice the verse just before it? It's a curious line in verse 44. As they're heading for Galilee, Jesus and his disciples, John includes these words, verse 44. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honour in his own country. It's an ominous line. And what we're seeing is that these Galileans, they're receiving Jesus with a form of faith, and yet it's a faith that's not honouring Jesus. It's quite curious, and we're going to keep teasing this out. How can you believe in Jesus and yet fail to honour him? Well, let's keep reading. From here, verse 46, we hear that Jesus and his disciples visit Cana in Galilee. This is where Jesus turned water into wine. You can see on the map, Cana is near Nazareth, where Jesus grew up. And it's at this point of our story that we're introduced to another person. End of verse 46, and there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. The official here, he's probably a Jew, and his role would have been serving the Roman Empire, who ruled over Israel at the time. But more than an official, he's a father, and his son's ill. In fact, we learn later the son has a fever, and he's about to die. It's at this point, I do feel out of my depth hearing about this man's experience. I've got three young kids, and I haven't had to experience one of them being seriously sick or passing away. But I know for some people here, this would have been your experience, or you know someone where it has been. And I'm sorry if that is you. I understand it's one of the most horrible griefs a person can go through. So we're seeing this father, he's in a desperate situation, isn't he? And yet he gets a glimpse of hope here. He hears that Jesus, this miracle worker, he's in Cana, near where he lives. And now this desperate man, he's got a plan. He's going to go to Jesus and ask for the gift of healing. Verse 47, he travels to Cana and he begs Jesus to come with him to heal his son. And you can imagine being there at the time, where he's there before Jesus, pleading his case with raw emotion. He's a father doing what he can to look after his child. Which makes Jesus' response a little bit surprising, doesn't it? I wonder if it stood out to you as well. Verse 48. This is what Jesus says to him. He says, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe. This man, he's come to Jesus for help, and Jesus seems to be rebuking him. Why would he do that? I want to say it's not because there's anything wrong with this man asking Jesus for help. Actually, he's an excellent example of a father who's caring for his family. And we're going to see later, Jesus has compassion for him and his situation. But it's because Jesus is addressing an even more critical matter. Which begs the question, right? Like, what could be more important than this man's dying son? Well, as we see, the thing that is more important is that this man and all people receive Jesus with a right belief. We asked the question before, how can you believe in Jesus and not honor him? It seems unusual, right? But actually, as you read through John's gospel, what you see is that there's faulty belief all the way along. You see, people welcome Jesus, but they do it on their own terms, not on Jesus' terms. That's the big problem. And in our passage today, Jesus is exploring a particular type of faulty belief that has to do with the signs, the miracles that Jesus was performing at the time. We saw that in verse 48. He said to the man, unless you people see signs and wonders, you won't believe. Now, at this point, you might be thinking, hang on, like, aren't the signs a good thing, right? They're Jesus' miracles. Jesus is doing them. They're a good thing. And John, the author, he'd agree with you on that for sure. In fact, he's included these signs for a very particular purpose, a good purpose. And chapter 20, he tells us what this is. He says, the words will be up on the screen. He says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John's included these signs, these miracles in his book, so that people might grasp that Jesus is the Son of God, the promised Savior, and that people might believe in him and so receive the gift of life. So if the signs are a good thing, what's the problem here? Why is Jesus rebuking this man? The problem is that the faith here, it's focused on the signs, but it neglects the reality that they're pointing to. Notice in that verse, in verse 48, Jesus addressed this man in the plural. He said, you people. So he's using this man here as an example for the Galileans more generally. Remember these Galileans we saw just before? They welcomed Jesus. And yet as they did that, they dishonored him. And now we see why. These Galileans, they had a faith in Jesus. But their belief, it centered on the signs. It was grounded in the signs instead of the glorious reality that they pointed to. They received Jesus on their own terms as a miracle worker that could perform miracles for them. But they didn't accept him on Jesus' terms as Lord and Savior. And we see this is the case even for the royal official. And for Jesus, this matter is so important to get right, to receive Jesus appropriately. It's so important, even more important than this sick son. Jesus, he needs to address this matter before the dying son. It's serious. And so given the urgency then, it's worth asking the question for all of us here today. Do you have a faith in Jesus that could be faulty? Do you have a trust in Jesus that's grounded in your own agenda instead of his agenda. It's so important that we get this right. Jesus doesn't promise to preserve the life of you or your loved ones now. He doesn't promise that you'll end up with a perfect spouse or family. He doesn't promise that he'll fulfill all your hopes and ambitions in this world. And any faith that's grounded in these things, in your own agenda, it's faulty and it needs to be addressed. Especially because, as we're about to see, what Jesus does hold out is so much more glorious, and we don't want to miss it. Well, let's keep working through our story together. So despite Jesus' words, at this point, this man sticks with plan A. Let's call it the Galilean faulty plan belief. Faulty belief plan. It's pretty catchy. I've been working on that all week, so maybe you can help me during the week get a better title. The Galilean faulty belief plan. All right, verse 49, he says to Jesus, he says, "Sir, come down before my child dies." He still thinks, maybe if I can just bring this miracle worker back with him, maybe Jesus will then give him the gift of healing. But Jesus doesn't budge. He stands there. And instead, he just says five words. Verse 50, he says, "Go. Your son will live." And now this man has a choice. He can stick with plan A. He can keep sticking to his own agenda and pleading with Jesus. Maybe he can use his connections with Rome or his resources to bring Jesus across and perform this miracle. After all, his son's life is on the line. Why wouldn't he do everything in his power to ensure his son's health? Or he can move to a new plan, to plan B. With humility, he can listen to Jesus and believe in Jesus on his terms, trusting in his words of promise here. Wonderfully, as you read verse 50, you see that this man chooses plan B. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. And because Jesus is always faithful to his words, this man is not disappointed. Let's read our passage and see how this plays out from verse 41. While he was still on his way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "Yesterday, at 1 p.m, the fever left him." Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he and his whole household believed. How incredible that must have been for the father. Can you imagine? He put his trust in Jesus, and Jesus powerfully gave him the gift of healing. As amazing as this miracle is, as this sign is, we can't finish our time before asking the question, what's it revealing to us? Remember, this sign, like a street sign, is pointing us to something. It's pointing us to a greater reality. And remember here, John's included this to point us to the greatest reality, that Jesus is the Son of God, the promised Savior for the world, and that by believing in him, we receive the gift of life. If we miss this reality, we could end up being like the Galileans here, focusing on the sign, but failing to grasp what it points to. And so to finish our time, firstly, how does our sign show us that Jesus is the glorious Son of God? It's worth noting, when Jesus performed his sign, he was in a different town to the Son. As far as we know, they'd never met before. But he doesn't need these things. And that's because Jesus is all-powerful. Five words, that's all he needed, and his son was healed. The son was healed, rescued from death. The reality is he didn't even need the five words. He said them for the benefit of the man standing before him. He said them for our benefit too. Doesn't that just blow your mind that Jesus could do this? I'd love to give an analogy here, but we don't have any. We don't have any worldly comparison to this. because Jesus is the one and only Son of God, the glorious Son of God. And so I want to ask, do we have a faith in Jesus that incorporates this view of who he is? An expansive view of Jesus that takes hold of the reality that we're not at the center of the universe. Jesus is. He's amazing. And the more we grasp this, the more we realize that there's only one appropriate response when you get to know Jesus. It's worship. All of life worship. To serve him with our whole lives, to revere him, and to adore him, to praise him. All of life worship. That's the only appropriate response to Jesus. Well, if that's not enough, this sign today, it reveals even more to us. It points us to how Jesus offers us the gift of life. You know, as amazing as this sign was that we see in our passage today, it didn't actually resolve the problem, ultimately. Eventually, this son, he still passed away. Eventually, his father would have passed away too. We know that, of course, because death is the reality for everyone and everything in this world. It's God's right judgment for a world that's rejected him as Lord. A world that's cut itself off from him as the source of life. And when we see sickness like in this passage, like in our own experience in the world, it's just a symptom of this greater problem. And it's also a warning for us and for the world, a warning that people who have rejected God will face a final day of judgment. A judgment which will lead to an eternity separated from God and all things good. Which is why the reality of the sign here today is so important. Because Jesus is God's promised Saviour. God sent Jesus into the world, his one and only Son, so that, as we heard before in the kids' song, that Jesus could be the death crusher, the sin smasher. On Jesus' death on the cross, he could deal with the punishment for sin that we deserve. And in his resurrection to new life, he could rise to new and indestructible life. And as you keep reading through John's gospel, you see what all of this accomplishes. In the following chapter, Jesus tells us, chapter 5, verse 24, it's up on the screen, have a read with me. He says this, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged but has crossed over from death to life." Jesus has made a way for people to no longer come under God's right judgment, but instead to go from death to life. That's the gift that Jesus offers that we're exploring today. He offers life, eternal life. It's life that begins now as you put your faith in Jesus, but it's life that culminates in the new creation where there'll be no more suffering, no more sickness, and no more death. So who can receive this gift? Have another look at that verse on the screen. Jesus assures us it's for anyone who hears his word and believes. There's so many wonderful promises that Jesus makes. If you're not familiar with them, read John's gospel. Read the whole thing. See all the amazing promises that Jesus makes. So many. But I don't think there are any that are more wonderful than this promise. Jesus says that if you listen to him and believe in him, you have the gift of life now, this very day. In the end, that's why the Father in our passage, it's such a great example to us. It's why the passage is such a wonderful story. Because he may have come to Jesus like the other Galileans with a faulty belief, receiving Jesus on his own terms. But in the end, he listened to Jesus, didn't he? And he trusted in him on Jesus' terms. If this isn't your story yet, there's still time. This gift of life, it can be yours today. Come to Jesus. Listen to his words of promise in Scripture. His words which reveal that he's the Son of God and the Savior of the world. He can be your Savior. He can be yours if you respond in repentance and put your trust in him. And if you throw your lot in with Jesus, then this gift of life is yours. Hear Jesus' words one more time that he offers to everyone. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." From death to life. This is the gift Jesus offers to anyone who turns to him. Well, people, they explore Jesus for many reasons, many personal reasons that they have. Often it's not as extreme as wanting a loved one to be healed. Sometimes it is. But sometimes they'll come to Jesus thinking he might teach them how to live a good life or make them a better person or help them to connect with people, find friends. And these aren't bad reasons in and of themselves. But it's so wonderful when people, through this, people actually come to know Jesus, to know who he really is, and they come to find life. I've been at our church family for a year. Last year, I was in another church in Sydney. And at that church, I was involved in a life course, like the one that we run here, three, four times every year. And at my previous church, I met a guy named Alex. I remember the first week, I was in a small group with Alex. And he was saying, "Oh, I've come because I'm Catholic and I want to better understand my faith." That was his original reason. But then a few months later, as he explored who Jesus is, as Jesus had revealed himself, he was reflecting on that first week with me. He was having a chat. And in his own words, he said he had no idea who Jesus was. He said he was just paying Jesus lip service. That was it. It's a good example, actually, of coming to Jesus on your own terms. But what happened in the months since that first meeting was that he'd come to know Jesus on Jesus' terms. He'd come to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Like the man in our passage, Alex, he listened to Jesus and trusted in his word. And because Jesus is always faithful to his word, Alex received the gift of life. He's now sold out for Jesus. Praise God. How good is that? And there's been other stories like that in our church family this year, where people have come to hear the gospel and trusted in him. Praise God. Isn't that amazing? Well, it's our last Sunday before the new year. And with that, I wonder if you've got a New Year's resolution for 2025. I stopped doing it a long time ago because they never work out. But maybe you've got one and maybe you'll keep it. Who knows? Yeah, there's a couple of people laughing, so maybe that's a bit ominous, but you might be able to. I don't have a New Year's resolution for our church family, but I do have a prayer. I was reminded last Sunday, there's a couple of members, and they said that they take the prayers we use at church and they incorporate them into their prayer life during the week. And I thought that was a great idea. Maybe you want to think about doing the same thing. But here's my prayer for our church family going into 2025. And in particular, in light of what we've heard today, I've put it up on the screen. If you can read all of that, take a moment. Have a read through that prayer. It's a response to what we've heard today, the reality. Take a moment, and then I'll lead us in prayer as we pray that prayer. Well, I'm quite a slow reader, but I'll assume that you're faster than me. Let's spend some time praying to God. I'll lead us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, We thank you that Jesus is your glorious Son. Please help us to be a community that's increasingly captivated by him, worshipping him with our whole lives, all our reverence and service and adoration. Thank you that Jesus is your promised Saviour and that he offers the gift of life for all who believe in him. Please help us to trust this and to look forward to the new creation where there'll be no more sickness and death. And in the coming year, please give us opportunities to proclaim Jesus to others that they might receive this gift of life too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.